760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning and welcome to The Morning Quest, where we help you find joy in the journey. And we are so grateful to be here on this beautiful Monday morning. I'm Allison DeLuel, and I have my co-host here, Josh Harris. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Dave Savage is here as well.
Howdy.
Howdy. Happy Monday.
Yeah. Happy Monday. Let's make it a holy Monday. What do you think about that? We'll tee it off in prayer. Let's just say in the name of the Father, and the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus Christ, thank you for the gift of divine mercy. I pray we relish in that grace as we say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
And Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, did y'all have a good Divine Mercy Sunday?
Listen, I had an amazing weekend. Yeah. Not just the Divine Mercy, that was like the grand finale. So I was blessed, and we had Sarah Hank has come on a while back to talk about the Arise retreat. It's a women's retreat that she started about 3 years ago, and I've gone each year. I help volunteer, and it was amazing. It was actually at Heritage this year.
Oh, cool.
Over in Sharon, Georgia. And we've had Betsy Orr come on and talk about it.
Did you stay on the premise?
Yes, okay, I did.
That's really cool.
I did. And it is beautiful. It is so calming. It is just so peaceful. And then when you're there for a retreat that is a Catholic retreat with an amazing, you know, priest talking about mercy, talking about healing, it was absolutely a beautiful weekend.
Yeah.
Truly, truly.
It was the right weekend for it. I you know, Divine Mercy, I mean, there are just some just explosive graces happening on Divine Mercy, right? I was at the Missionaries of Charity, and we were doing some service work, and then went to Mass there. And who was saying Mass? My old spiritual director, which was fantastic. I'm like, oh man, I hadn't seen you in a minute. And then I remembered Divine Mercy. If you like, in order to get this like super indulgence, which is like a tsunami of graces, I just had to go to confession. I was like, oh hey, let's relive the olden days. Come hang out with me first. So we talked, and then I, you know, went to confession with this guy. And I'll tell you, like, the church knows what it's talking about, because I just felt such peace and such joy. I mean, there really is something special about Divine Mercy Sunday. It was a really wonderful reconnecting with him. And it was really, really special experience.
And, you know, we had confession there as well, too, right? So we had that. We went to Mass. We did the rosary. And the retreat master, it's Father Ambrose Christie. He is out of St. Michael's Abbey in Silverado, California. He was amazing. And just talking about confession, so many things just jumped out to me where I'm looking at my examination of conscience so differently now, in a deeper way, which was beautiful. And on top of all this, we know that Heritage has the purification of Mother Mary, right? The church there, that's one of the Pilgrim of Hope doors within the Archdiocese. So we also were in there going through the prayers, you know, for the Pilgrim door to get the indulgence. So talking about a weekend packed full of the Holy Spirit, the Lord, Mother Mary. I prayed in the cemetery there over at Locust Grove. So I was saying prayers in the presence of holy souls. I'm like, it was amazing, as you can tell. I'm a little excited.
You're in the HOV land of heaven, dude.
It was amazing. And Sharon is a few hours away, guys. So go out there. Go check it out. It is beautiful. It's such a holy place.
Yeah, that's awesome. And Dave, you sent me a funny video.
On Divine Mercy Sunday?
No, not on Divine Mercy Sunday.
On Saturday.
Yeah. Well, it was a guy doing a stand-up bit about the Atlanta airport. It was pretty hilarious.
Yeah. How basically everything in Atlanta is an hour away from everything.
Says, how do you build an airport that's an hour from everything?
And traffic, too. That was one thing on Friday as I was making my way out of Atlanta. I got stuck. I had to get gas. I was over by Atlantic Station. Big mistake. About 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh,
bumper
yeah.
to bumper traffic. I'm like,
and what day was this?
It was on Friday.
Friday, yeah. Of course.
I was like, oh, my goodness gracious. It was horrific. I don't get out there often. But when I go out there, do not go to Atlanta.
On Friday afternoon.
So, you know, speaking of traffic, I'm driving to this party, which is about 50 minutes from where I live, right? About that. And I am on the way out, and I get a call from the Missionaries of Charity, and they're like, can you give us a ride to the Carlo Acutis Mass tonight? I was like, well, I don't want to spend a few extra decades in purgatory, so I have to say yes, you know? So I'm on the way out, and I was like, because I was really tired, but I just did like a drive-by at this party and then flipped around, and I picked them up, and we go out there, and it was such a special ride. Like, just being in the car with them was... it was just spiritual nourishment. And we get there, and the mass was canceled. But since they don't have any technology, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, they're going on, like, last month's Georgia Bulletin. I don't know what they're, but, you know, you're not going to see them on, like, Instagram or TikTok, right? So we get there. But honestly, I was not mad about it at all. I was like, man, this was just, we walked around the property for a little bit, but it was like, yeah, I was just so grateful for the time and the experience.
Oh, and that they call you and ask you.
Yeah,
I mean, that alone is a grace from God that you're able to serve.
I felt like the coolest Uber driver in town, man. It was pretty rocking.
You know, and talking about Carlo Acutis, have you all seen the movie yet? I want to take my kids. I know we had an interview with the co-director of Roadmap to Reality last week, and it sounds amazing. I'm going to bring my kids either tonight. I was talking to Mary.
Two more days.
I know.
Today and tomorrow. That's today and tomorrow.
So if you haven't seen it, take your kids too. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Well, we got a great show for you guys today. Kathy McCormick, parishioner at St. Thomas Aquinas, is going to be unpacking today's gospel. It's going to be fantastic. Our buddy Chuck Persner is going to help us get acquainted with St. Peter Chanel. Father Mark White, pastor of Queen of Angels in Thompson, Georgia, and St. Joseph in Washington, Georgia, will be talking about the importance of the body in regards to the resurrection. But up next, our newfound friend, Jenny Gustanis, parishioner at St. Peter Chanel in Roswell and first grade teacher at Holy Spirit Prep, will be talking about her personal Marian pilgrimage she took here in the Archdiocese of Atlanta.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Again, we are so excited to have Jenny Gustanis here. She is a parishioner at St. Peter Chanel in Roswell, as well as a first grade teacher at Holy Spirit Prep in Atlanta. And she took a beautiful personal Marian pilgrimage here within the Archdiocese to all the parishes. So we are so happy to have you here, Jenny. Welcome to the Morning Quest.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
We are so grateful that you're here with us. And so, first off, will you forgive me for saying Gustanis?
It's a really complicated last name. It's Lithuanian. I have my husband to blame for that. It's like a gust of wind and a stain on your shirt. So Gustanis is how I share with people.
Okay.
I went from Sample to Gustanis, so very different.
Yes.
So I go by Mrs. G for my first grade students.
I think
it's
that's perfect.
I think that's
absolutely.
That probably
perfect.
Gets you some cool street cred too. I like that. Miss G.
Yes. And then eventually we get to start like decoding it and code the word Gustanis. It becomes like a whole lesson.
And you're really young, but like maybe a few decades from now you can be an old G.
That's right. Yes, exactly. One of these days.
You gotta earn that name though.
That's right.
So what inspired you to take this pilgrimage?
Sure. Yeah, so it really started about over 10 years ago in college. I had a friend who was always happy and joyful, and she had this like inward joy that just radiated like this sunshine around her.
Yeah.
And I was always a Catholic. I fell away from the faith, came back from it, and it was back through my reconversion that I became friends with this person. And she would always talk about like Mama Mary this, Mama Mary that. And I just said, I want what she has. Mm. And I never understood this relationship with Mama Mary. It was just this far off, distant thing. But I knew that if she had this complete joy, that I needed to take the first step. And I didn't really have these feelings, this happiness. And it was actually the quite opposite upon my conversion back to the faith. But it was just, I needed to take the first step. So yeah. 10 years later, you know, highs and lows and in-betweens, my spiritual director sometime last year, he encouraged me to start to just go on a Marian pilgrimage, just visit one church dedicated to Mom Mary. It was no real instruction to experience all of them, but I'm a type A choleric personality, so I made my list on my Apple phone and I found out that there were 16 of them.
Wow.
So I just decided to ask my husband, hey, let's go to Mass at 1. It was Immaculate Heart of Mary. And then after Mass, we went to one of the Marian statues and it was just me, my husband, and my daughter. And my daughter is just kind of hanging out. She doesn't really know what's going on. And I just prayed a little bit, asked for Mama Mary's intercession. And I just kind of felt this very almost kind of like a soft wind saying, okay, maybe you should go to like the next one.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, okay, well, Atlanta has several, so I'll just go to OLA was the next one and went to Mass there.
Wow.
And then went to another Mama Mary statue. And I honestly forget exactly what I said at every single one, but it was always like either Hail Marys or a decade or just something like to help me understand Mama Mary's love and how much more Jesus's love is for me. And then after OLA, it was just like, well, how about the next one? So
wow.
I felt this like calling to like have this full on pilgrimage. And I would go about every weekend. So it was a sacrifice for my husband and I and my family. But the phrase that kept coming back was, God is never outdone in generosity. So it was this like, okay, are you willing to go through this sacrifice of time away from your family to spend time with me in hopes that your life can be that much more transformed?
Yeah.
Amen.
And yeah, so the rest is kind of history.
Oh, wow. So during your pilgrimage, what moment during that pilgrimage made you feel the closest to Mary and why? Definitely since you were on a trek to try to feel her presence more.
Yeah, it was different feelings at every single parish. The one that I think was most like, wow, Mama Mary's peaceful, calm, serenity, and direct point to Jesus was actually Heritage.
Okay.
So we mentioned
that. There you go. Purification.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
So we actually had the opportunity to visit Heritage on the Feast of the Purification with the Archbishop celebrating Mass and opening the Jubilee doors.
Oh, my goodness. Look at this.
And it was this feeling of Mama Mary is here, rest in me, rest in my mantle of love and protection, and experience Jesus's love for you. That was kind of the feeling that I took after visiting.
Wow.
And that's you're logging up some major miles for
a lot of miles
for the Lord.
Yes.
That's pretty great. You know what I think super cool is, which you're talking about, is, okay, how about the next one, right? And I think that's so indicative of a great motto for the spiritual journey, like one day at a time, one experience at a time. And then after that, okay, what's the next small step you want me to take, Lord? Versus plotting this just momentous trip that is almost too daunting to conceptualize. I love your small step approach. I think there's something truly meritorious about that. And so, what inspired you to turn this simple visit into a full pilgrimage? Was it that incremental ascent?
It was really just kind of surrendering myself to God. so a phrase that I've been incorporating into my daily prayer life is, Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. Yeah. And I was doing that before I was, instructed, encouraged to go on the Marian pilgrimage. You know, if I was having a bad day or, you know, I felt all the insecurities of life, it was just, Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Mm-hmm. So after that first Marian visit, and then the next one, it just became integrated in my life. It became a routine where before it wasn't a routine or like a habit. But just by committing myself to that tiny little prayer every single day, it slowly became that transformation. And honestly, looking back on it, I was like, wow, I didn't know that I went on all these Marian pilgrimages until there was none left to like check off my list.
And wow.
Like, okay, that was really cool. And then the time, it didn't feel like it was that long. It felt like it finished in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow, that's so special.
So, Jenny, what would you say to someone who feels drawn to Mary but doesn't know where to start?
That's how I kind of felt a little over 10 years ago. And there was no feelings tied to it. So my words would be, even though you may not feel anything, it is good to pursue a relationship with Mama Mary, because not only was she, you know, the mother of the Son of God, but she only wants the good of us. And the phrase that I felt after was, if my love for you, like Mama Mary saying, like, if my love for you is this great, imagine my love that the Son has for you. And it was always this inward, like, I feel called to more. I want to experience like Christ's love for me. Like, I want to grow in my faith. I don't know how. I just visited a church dedicated to Mama Mary, and I learned a little bit about her. I had no idea about Our Lady of Perpetual Help or as deep knowledge of the purification. And it was just this knowledge and feelings go hand in hand. And just because you don't have one doesn't mean you can't take that small little baby step and just the Holy Spirit kind of guide you, that surrendering.
Absolutely. And she's always pointing to Christ. That's what's so beautiful. Here you are on a search to grow closer to Mother Mary, and she's just bringing you closer and closer to her Son, which is beautiful.
Yeah, immediately after I like quote unquote finished this list, which I never wanted it to be this like to-do list, I want it to be like a transformation, I felt like Mama Mary, like, okay, get closer to Jesus.
Amen.
Start going more to adoration. And I was like, okay, sounds good.
Oh, I love it.
That's so beautiful.
Love it.
Well, thank you so much, Jenny, or should I say Miss G, for coming and hanging out.
Shout out to my first grader.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful.
My daughter.
We're so grateful for you. And a beautiful seed you're planting in our hearts, in an inspiration and a reminder that a step closer towards Mary is a step closer towards Christ, because no one who stepped foot on this earth loved him more.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. We're so grateful
Thank
for you. Coming up, our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Peter Chanel. And following that, our buddy Father Mark White, pastor of Queen of Angels in Thompson, Georgia, is talking about the importance of the body regarding the resurrection. But next, Kathy McCormick, parishioner at St. Thomas Aquinas, unpacks today's gospel. We are joined by our buddy Kathy McCormick, parishioner at St. Thomas Aquinas, leads a dynamic Bible study, and is here today to unpack today's gospel reading. Welcome, Kathy.
Today's Monday, second week of Easter. And the gospel today is John 3:1-8. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus at night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you're doing unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man once grown be born again? Surely he cannot re-enter his mother's womb and be born again, can he?" And Jesus answered, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What is born of flesh is flesh. What is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I told you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it wills, and you can hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." And that is today's gospel.
Praise to you,
Praise
Lord,
to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. You know, this gospel always reminds me of... my mom always said, you know, we're in this world, but we're not of this
world. Yes,
yes. And I think that's actually probably in Scripture somewhere. Mom was always quoting Scripture. But I think that this is just a profound gospel about living in the Spirit. You know, Nicodemus, he was a Pharisee and a member of the Jewish ruling council. And he was very educated, very observant. It's interesting that he meets Jesus in the quiet of the night.
Mm-hmm.
I think he probably was scared a little bit about meeting Jesus. This is just my thought. But, you know, he was part of the ruling class, so he was part of the leadership of the Jews, and the leadership is questioning who Jesus is and plotting and things like that, and just not too sure about this. So, but how many times have we met Jesus in the night?
Mm-hmm.
And when I say the night, I mean like darkness of heart.
Yes, yes.
You know, he obviously had a hunger to learn more, a longing to learn more than just what the law was offering.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think St. John Chrysostom, I believe he says, Nicodemus came by night because he was still in the shadows of ignorance.
Mm.
Ah, that's very cool.
Yes.
I love our saints.
Praise God. Seriously.
They know a thing or two about a thing or two.
They know a thing or two about a thing or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, what's great, though, is that Jesus doesn't scold Nicodemus. Jesus doesn't say, what are you doing, you know, asking these questions or meet me in the night. He just invites him into the mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. And it just basically, you know, the water and spirit, it's baptism.
Yes.
Yep.
Bottom line is baptism. And, you know, water and the Holy Spirit transform our soul.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to enter into that life.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's, you know, it's not something earned. We receive the grace. But to quote Catechism 1214, mm-hmm. Catechism of the Catholic Church, or 1215, the Holy Spirit is the gateway to the Spirit of life. The sacrament of baptism, which involves water and the invocation of the Holy Spirit, is the gateway to life in the Spirit.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I mean, the early church fathers are pretty unanimous that Jesus here is pointing to the sacramental life.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So and you know, we want to listen to that church authority again. I'm going to drop another saint quote on you, but this is Saint Cyprian of Carthage. No one can have God as Father who does not have church as mother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the sacramental life. You know, the thing too is that this grace isn't a one-time event. Birth from above. It's an ongoing. It's the baptism is just the beginning of life in the Spirit.
Yep.
And so, you know, daily living in the Spirit, it's about transformation mm-hmm. on the inside. Our desires softens our heart, calls us out of darkness into light. And I think that it's neat that Jesus speaks about the wind. No one knows where it comes from. No one knows where it's going.
Yeah.
You can't see it, but you can feel it. You know, if we allow the Spirit to flow freely in us, we might not know where we're going. It's like your first guest and she talked about how she was prompted when she went to IHM. She was prompted. Well, that's the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. moving her, and she was open to the Holy Spirit. What a joyful, thing to have happen mm-hmm. and to be open to that. Then it leads her to another. And what does that do? It deepens her faith.
Oh, yes.
It deepens
yes.
her relationship with Mary, who then points again to Christ, which is what Mary always does.
Oh, yeah.
So I think we need to ask our questions. I always want to ask a question. what is this scripture telling us? And in this moment, because, you know, divine revelation, it's just always telling us something.
Well, I think what you've just inspired in me, Kathy, is John Paul II's quote, which where he said, I believe I'm quoting this correct, life with Christ is a wonderful adventure.
Yeah.
But that's because the Spirit is unpredictable in the most marvelous of ways.
Yeah.
If we hang on the coattails of the Holy Spirit and let it direct us with obviously while embracing a sacramental rhythm and spiritual direction, life's going to be exciting, and it might not be the most secularly appealing lifestyle, but it will surely bear eternal rewards in this life and the next.
Yeah, I think that we need to, just in praying with the scripture, do we seek Jesus?
Yeah.
And do we allow ourselves to be open to the internal movement of the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
Do we trust God? Do we trust God, the Holy Spirit, to lead us into a deeper, into the deeper heart of God? And I think that, you know, what we talk about this, the Holy Spirit is always this, you know, God the Father, Creator, God the Son, Savior. You can put your mind around that. God the Holy Spirit is this, it's something that is subtle, that you need to be quiet and you need to listen and you need to really try to disconnect from all of the outside chaos that's going on in our world and really try to be quiet and hear the Lord in the whisper of the wind. You know, it was in the whisper.
Amen.
That not the thunderclap and so on. So I would challenge us all to try to find some quiet, especially as we're leading into Pentecost, which is what this reading is all about, is being born of the Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit so that it can encourage us and enable us to do the will of God in each day.
Amen.
That's a high note. Thank you so much, Kathy McCormick, parishioner at St. Thomas Aquinas in Alpharetta. Check out her dynamic Bible study when it resumes, in the fall? Is that correct?
It'll resume in the fall, yeah. We're gonna talk about From Darkness into Light, and we're going to do a little bit of Old Testament and New Testament and how they connect.
Beautiful.
Wow. Well, that's a thrill ride. Thank you so much, Kathy McCormick. We are so grateful for you.
Take care.
Breaking news from the Vatican. The date has been set for the conclave to elect the new pope. Cardinals will gather starting May 7th, immediately following the traditional 9-day mourning period for Pope Francis, known as the Novum Dialis. The decision came after meetings held at the held in the Vatican Synod Hall as cardinals prepare to elect the church's 267th pope. Now, voting will take place in the iconic 16 chapel, in which it will be completely sealed off during the conclave for privacy and security. Prior to the start of voting, cardinal electors will attend a special mass dedicated to praying for guidance in selecting the next pope. Cardinals then will solemnly process into the Sistine Chapel, swearing an oath of secrecy before casting their ballots. White smoke will rise from the Sistine Chapel chimney, signaling the election of a new pope, announced publicly by the traditional phrase, Habemus Papam, Latin for "we have a pope." Maybe you need to take a page from our memory verse, Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. 46:10, be still, know that I am God. I'm reading like I'm a nighttime DJ over here. Okay, so remember that verse. We'll test you on it later. Coming up, Father Mark White, pastor of Queen of Angels in Thompson, Georgia, and St. Joseph in Washington, will be talking about the importance of the body regarding the resurrection. But next, our friend Chuck Persner unpacks our saint of the day, St. Peter Chanel.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
Finding joy in the journey.
With Josh and Allison. Mondays, get acquainted with the sainted. Is sponsored by VerseBrite.
It's 8:33.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Chuck.
Right, deeper into the Easter season we go. The Easter octave is complete now and punctuated by Divine Mercy Sunday just yesterday. Mm-hmm. A great time in the church.
We have
a lot of great things going on right now. And today on this second Monday of Easter, we actually have a rare twofer, if you will. Two very popular and very beloved saints share the day. And this happens sometimes. St. Philip and James the Apostle share a feast day, for instance. And in a couple of days, in fact, we'll get around to them soon enough. Saints Cosmas and Damian and Saints Perpetua and Felicity are just a couple of examples that come to mind of saints who share a feast day. But in those instances, those saints in question really share a connection. In Philip and James, you see the instance where they were both apostles. So for them to share the day, it emphasizes their shared brotherhood as two of the 12. You know, Cosmas and Damian were twin brothers. doctors as well. We discussed them in late September, as you all may recall. It was one of the first segments we did. And then what was perhaps the most unlikely of saintly pairings, we had Felicity, who was actually Perpetua's slave around the year 201. They were martyred, two of the seven that we recognize in Eucharistic prayer number one. But on April 28th, our church remembers two men that are really bound only by a love of God and a desire to share the gospel, and that they were not connected to each other in any way, shape, or form. It just happens that they share the day. We have the great priest and martyr, St. Peter Chanel, as well as the man known as the Good Father from Montfort, St. Louis-Marie de Montfort, perhaps best known for his book, The True Devotion to Mary, and his promulgation of the rosaries. But today we'll stay true to the liturgical calendar, and we'll discuss St. Peter Chanel, as he does get the nod by way of an optional memorial. I thought we would get around to St. Louis de Montfort this month, though, sometime. We'll find a day. It seems appropriate. May is the month of Mary in the church, and that book, True Devotion to Mary, is probably his most crowning achievement and what he's most known for. So we'll find some time for him maybe in the next week or two. But back to our Saint Peter Chanel. And of course, a shout out to our friends just down the road a ways.
Yes.
And a reminder to our listeners, too, we can pick up a plenary indulgence by visiting St. Peter Chanel Church today.
Oh.
Offer prayers for the Pope. And be sure to attend to the remaining indulgence requirements to receive Holy Communion. I know our listeners do that anyway. They all go to Mass on Sundays. And then get to confession within 8 days. We're going to have a few of these opportunities, too, because we have St. Catherine of Siena tomorrow.
Oh.
So for those of you in this area, and there's no limit, you can pick up both of them.
Yes.
You're just going to spend a lot of time in the confessional these next couple
weeks. Well, and I love it because it's kind of like a little pilgrimage, right? That
it
we
is.
Can go to these different parishes on their feast days.
Yep, absolutely. And they're great to pick up. Important to get them, offer them for the souls in purgatory.
Amen.
But anyway, back to St. Peter Chanel, born in the year 1803. He was attracted to the missionary life at a very young age and quickly became a Marist priest. He would embark shortly thereafter on a 10-month journey to Futuna Island, which is in Oceania. And he quickly learned the language and endeavored to convert the natives. All the while, this was a tough endeavor for him. It was a tough pilgrimage. He suffered from hunger, heat, insect infestation, and probably what was most heartbreaking and difficult for him was the sheer indifference of the people that he encountered. He was constantly exhausted serving the physical and medical needs of the islanders. This was just a big change for him in his life, and it was said that he always remained in good spirits despite the fact that he made virtually no converts to Christ during his time there. Certainly no task was beneath him. He took care of the needs of the islanders, whether it be their physical or spiritual needs, and was nicknamed in Oceania the man with the kind heart.
And on top of serving with patience and love and tending to the sick, he also taught the residents and learned the language slowly. How about that?
Yeah, we see that with a number of these saints, how they're quickly able to adapt. That's probably just a gift of the Holy Spirit that they're able to do that, because it's needed in order for them to complete their mission.
And to communicate,
the mission that God has sent them on.
Mm-hmm.
So the chieftain's son asks Father Peter to baptize him one day, and this is where the trouble begins, because an insurrection arises, and the chieftain was an anti-Christian sort, and ultimately it led to St. Peter Chanel's martyrdom. He was clubbed to death during the pinnacle of this great insurrection around the year 1841. So he died a pretty young guy. He only lived to be about 37, 38 years old. And as a result of his martyrdom, he would earn the title of proto-martyr of Oceania. And, you know, Allison, you have a quote of his, and I thought this was very, very interesting, you know, on the heels of, as the time was approaching for his martyrdom, he saw the handwriting on the wall. He offered these words that
and they're profound. He said, "It does not matter whether or not I am killed. The religion has taken root on the island. It will not be destroyed by my death, since it comes not from men, but from God." And again, the Holy Spirit, you know, working through those that he was in the presence of.
Oh, yeah. And they were just such prophetic words, because although he uttered these in the waning hours of his life, within a year after his death, the whole island of Oceania had converted to Catholicism. And it has remained Catholic to this day. So here we see another man who did not have the opportunity to see the fruits of his labor, but planted the seeds of the faith, as the martyrs do. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the faith.
And
Oceania still strives as a Catholic nation to this day.
And yeah, and he's the patron saint of Oceania.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow. And, you know, I mean, just what a journey, right? It shows when you say yes to God, you never know where it's going to take you. I mean, to think, you know, in 1931, he join this newly formed Society of Mary, that, which are the Marists. If you're in Atlanta, Georgia, there's Marist School.
Yes.
And that religious order is involved with that particular institution. And you know, he taught at the seminary for a few years while awaiting this overseas mission work. And yeah, in 1936, the Marists were given the responsibility for evangelizing parts of Oceania. Yeah. And Peter Chanel stepped up to the plate.
As you point out, too, even the man who murdered him later converted and was baptized. Isn't that amazing? And at his death, he asked to be buried close to St. Peter Chanel, the very man that he had killed.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen to this quote. Love God, serve God, everything is in that. And that's exactly what he did.
It is.
And that's where people saw that truth, right? They saw the Lord in him, and they were converted.
And the results, in the case of St. Peter Chanel, the results are the results, you know, and he didn't live to see them. And, you know, the priest that you had on during the Lenten retreat, he delivered the retreat at St. Benedict not long ago, Father Demir Stojic. He said a number of things that were very memorable at this retreat. I was able to make two of the three nights, but there was one particular item that he said that I remembered, and I'm going to really try and keep this in mind because it's just human nature to want to see the results of our evangelical exploits, and sometimes you don't if it's someone that's no longer in your life that you're praying for. But he said this, and he led by saying this. He said, I'm going to shock you with what I'm about to say. You know, as a laborer in God's vineyard, that's all we are. We're laborers. He said, we don't even have the right to see the results as laborers. God is the harvester, and only God gets to see the result. And, you know, one day we'll see it when all is revealed. Yeah. Please God, before all make it safely home to heaven. But, you know, God as the harvester, only he has that privilege at this point. And we have to remember who we are. We're the laborers, you know, and there are good reasons for that, I think. You know, if for instance, maybe if we, like in the case of St. Peter Chanel, if we didn't see the results right away, we might get discouraged.
Correct.
And give up.
Or go at it in a different way, which is not Holy Spirit led, and push people away.
Yes.
So what a beautiful message that you, from Father.
Yeah. And he said it point blank. I said, I'm going to shock you with these words. You do not have the right to see the results.
That gives us all peace of mind, right?
I think about that story that I've shared before, but it's something I've heard where there's a gentleman who went overseas, spent his whole life trying to evangelize, only converted one person, and then he passes away, and you think, wow, well, what a failure that was. Well, that one person converted 50,000 people.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well, I think of dominoes, right? If we're doing what we're called to do and spreading seeds, I mean, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
And people are just going to talk to other people. So seriously, we just need to be obedient to the Holy Spirit and live for the Lord.
Yeah, in a similar scenario, I call this spiritual multi-level marketing a few days ago, I think, in one of these segments, because you're right. As it grows and grows and grows, we never get to see it in the end. But one day we will see it all. All will be revealed. And that's a promise from God. And God doesn't lie.
Amen to that.
Amen, amen.
St. Peter Chanel.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. With Josh and Allison.
At 8:43, sometimes Dave, too.
Sometimes Dave, and it's about to be all the time.
Every day you say that, Josh.
I know he's got a lot of stuff to do, but we're going to make a petition that he's full-time morning show. So we never have to run the board. What do you think about that, Dave?
We'll see how that works out.
So, Dave, what do you have for us today?
Monday memes. Some silly, some thought-provoking, everything in between.
I'm ready for some inspiration.
Like this one. Josh, you don't know this yet. Allison, you don't know this yet either. But after 50, you're like an old phone battery. Even when you charge yourself overnight for 10 hours, by 10 a.m., you're only at 60%.
I like that.
What about if I work out in the morning, right? Wouldn't that help the battery?
I probably would.
There you go.
Probably would. Courage is knowing it might hurt and doing it anyway.
Oh, that's nice. That's good.
Stupidity is the same, and that's why life is hard.
That's funny.
Here's a quote from Augustine. And, you know, the funny thing is, and we learned this last week, that sometimes these quotes are attributed to these people, but...
Yeah, why don't you read the Pope Francis quote you gave us last week? Dave was like, isn't this a great Pope Francis quote?
Well, it was, but he never said it.
Yeah, he didn't say it.
But it was a cool quote, though.
It was a nice quote.
I deleted it, though, so I don't remember. But anyway, this is from Augustine. Yeah. Oh, Lord, everything good in me is due to you. The rest is my fault.
Oh, wow.
That's nice.
Yeah, how about that?
That is.
And this one's a sign on a pasture. It said, do not cross this field unless you can do it in 9 seconds because the bull can do it in 10.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
And, you know, it's hard to believe that we once had a phone attached to a wall. Yeah. When it rang, we'd pick it up without knowing who was calling.
Yeah.
It's amazing we're still alive, huh?
I know. Those were some fun days. It was a surprise.
And we used maps.
Yeah, paper maps, yeah.
Oh, I remember having those when I was traveling.
We stopped at a rest area. This is a few years ago, and my son, I don't know how old he was, maybe 10, and he saw a paper map, and he goes, wow, this is like an old school GPS. It's like, yeah, I guess it is, isn't it? Here's a sign in front of a repair shop. It says, if we can't fix your brakes, we'll make your horn louder.
Oh, there you go.
And we'll wrap it up on this one. The main character in my favorite book dies, but it's okay because he comes back to life after 3 days.
There you go. Oh, that is fitting. Hey, end on a high note this Easter. Amen. Or should we say beginning on a high note?
Absolutely.
Amen.
Coming up, our friend Father Mark White, pastor of Queen of Angels in Thompson, Georgia, is going to be talking about the importance of the body in regards to the resurrection. It is 8:48.
Father Mark White, pastor of Queen of Angels in Thompson, Georgia, and St. Joseph's in Washington, Georgia. And he is going to be talking about the significance of the belief that we have in the resurrection of the body. So welcome back, Father.
Great to be here with you guys, Allison and Josh. Yeah, you know, it's a very important time for that during Easter season, because we profess faith in the resurrection of the body. What does that mean? And I think where we kind of go off in the wrong direction in our modern focus that we get with modern philosophy, and you see it really present in our culture, society, is the depictions of heaven. You know, we see these where usually people are floating, you know, which is implying they're not material anymore. They're outside of their body. And they're with harps and angels on clouds and things like that. Now, I mean, that's just a popular depiction. But the reality is that our promise is not ultimately just heaven, but it's a new heavens and a new earth. So that we believe, as we are body-soul composites, we will so also be body-soul composites forever and eternity. That as Jesus rose from the dead, he testifies to all of us of our belief in the resurrection of the body. Many of the resurrection accounts involve him really going to lengths to try to prove that to the apostles that I am not just a vision that you're seeing, an immaterial vision. I am real and physical. Now, in a glorified state, yes, a different kind of body, a body made new, but nonetheless a body, as we see with Thomas touching the wound in his side and putting his fingers and the nail marks in his hands, as well as Jesus often will ask to drink something or eat something. And I think that, you know, obviously, you know, he wouldn't have needed food in the same way that he needed it when he was just Jesus of Nazareth before he died and rose. But he wanted to, I think, prove something and emphasize something that he knew that we would have problems with, because we focused a lot, I think, on this idea that our bodies are kind of a prison. We need to set them aside, and then we need to move on to the spiritual realm, which is a superior way of living. But that's not the Christian view. You know, the Christian view is that the body is good, and that the body is a part of our identity, and that, you know, we will be raised bodily forever.
Yeah, and that is so important. So, like, what does that mean for us on earth then? If our bodies are actually important and have eternal significance, then how should we be looking at our relationship with the body here on earth? And how do we cultivate that in a spiritual fashion?
So it's beautiful and a very important question. You know, theology of the body really speaks to this a lot. You know, I think of St. Paul in Corinthians, I think it's 1 Corinthians 5 or 6, where he talks about your body being a temple and treating your body that way. You know, so how we treat our bodies, we need to realize that the body isn't just some sort of tomb that our soul lies in, and it's just a pain in the butt. We either worship it on one hand, you know, where we're working out all the time, worrying about how it looks, and God's not concerned with the external appearance as much, and we become overly extern. You see that extreme. Or the other extreme is, well, my body's just, I can just use it to enjoy my life. you know, eat as much as I want, or I can be involved in sexual activities that are harmful for me, or I could, you know, maybe I just hate my body, that we really need to see our body through God's eyes, mm-hmm. as a gift that is fallen, yes. It's not what it will be. I know I thank God for that when I look in the mirror in the morning. I think we all do. But the reality is that, you know, that we're going to have that body. And, you know, another interesting thing is when you think of the testimony of the church for 2,000 years, things like the incorruptibles. These are these saints that don't go corrupt like a normal body in decay. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a testimony to their holiness and sanctity in many cases. And the relics. The fact that you have St. Peter's shadow being talked about in the first reading for Divine Mercy Sunday, where it talks about the fact that they wanted to be near his shadow or touch a handkerchief that Paul touched. And we talk about the relics and the miracles associated with them and touching even parts of a body of a saint or whatnot and people being healed, that Christ truly was God made man. He wasn't just a visible appearance of God, but it was literally he took our own flesh and he died in it and then rose it, you know, so that he ascended into heaven with humanity in this miraculous way, because, you know, he's divine and divinity, and his divinity is immaterial. And yet he took flesh. How did that happen? It's a great miracle.
Yeah.
And in doing that, he should help us to see that our bodies matter. Yeah. They're not just tombs. They're not just containers that we got to get out of, and that they speak to our identity. You know, you want to know what you are. You can look at the body and realize I'm a man or I'm a woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, maybe I have problems and difficulties and struggling with that, that, you know, you work through that by God's grace, but that's fundamental to your identity.
And I see a pro-life message etched into all of this, because think about what was the first tabernacle, the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Oh, yeah.
And so
absolutely.
Jesus could have come down to earth riding a lightning bolt or in some grand apparition to where everyone just fell to their feet. But he came as a child, as an infant, in the body of a human, God and man intersecting 100% both, and chose to let this woman, this docile, humble woman, be a conduit for his grace. And so how should we look at the wombs of, you know, what a beautiful message on the dignity of life all of that implies.
Yeah, no, you, that's great comment, Josh. I mean, you know, what is more clear than when a woman is pregnant, right? There's a physical reality there. This is another person. And the moment we believe at conception that God supernaturally imparts this soul, he doesn't just give the soul. You know, the soul is in, you know, immediately present the moment that the embryo, the new human being, comes into existence through conception. And that was God's intention all along. And we have to recognize the value and the dignity of the human being from the moment of conception. That, you know, though we visibly can't see at that point, we recognize that there are visible manifestations, because, you know, you talk to a lot of women the moment they're pregnant, you know, their diet changes, the way they feel changes, their pregnancy tests. So again, it's another imprint of God's grace, giving us this gift of a new human being that is made flesh, literally inside the womb of a woman. That God is not against human beings. He's not even against human culture. A lot of things we do, he doesn't like the way we distort it and twist it and misuse it. But those things are very good, and physical things are good. They can speak to us. They can communicate grace through the sacraments, but they can also, in a sacramental way, speak of God's mercy and as he proclaims himself to us through the visible created world.
Amen, Father. And that is such a powerful word, and especially in our Catholic tradition, right? I mean, John the Baptist, recognizing Christ even before birth, affirms the dignity of life in the womb. this quote, right, from Luke 1:44, "For behold, when the voice of your greeting came to my ears, the child in my womb leapt for joy." So I'm so glad you brought this up to the forefront, because so many, I mean, the body can just really be a canvas for relativism a lot. And you're really showing us, you know, Father, that there is a concrete spiritual reality imprinted in all of us. So we are so grateful for you.
Yeah, I'm glad to do it, and glad to be here.
Thanks, Father.
Thank you again, Father.
Thank you, guys.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio.
You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
And Dave.
Sometimes.
Sometimes, all the time. Buckle up, Dave. You are full time. Sometimes, always full time.
Oh my God. Okay, Josh. Okay, so if you all did not listen to that interview that we had with the co-director of Roadmap to Reality with Carlo Acutis, it took place last Wednesday on the show. Great, great conversation with one of the co-producer or the co-director?
Co-director, I think.
Co-director, yeah. It was amazing. And if you haven't seen the movie yet, go see it. It looks like it's going to be out in theaters through May the 1st. So go to carloacutisfilm.com and you could put your information in there, the zip code in there, to find out exactly where it's playing. And I plan on bringing my three kids.
Awesome.
15, 13, and 11.
I'm gonna hold you to that.
I think you're going to come with me, Josh. I'll let you know when we're going.
Perfect.
I would love to have you there, too. You can babysit my three kids, and I'll sit in another row.
Oh,
in another theater.
No, and you know what else? That Bible verse of the week. Wow, that was beautiful. Be still and know I am God.
Be still and know that I am God. Well, let's be still right now as we say, glory be to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.